مولاي صل وسلم دائما ابدا على حبي بالمعاصي كسر شهواتها ان الطاعه ما يقوي شهواتها.
بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم وصلى الله على النبي الأمي سبحانك لا علم لنا إلا ما علمتنا إنك أنت العليم الحكيم رب اشرح لي صدري ويسر لي أمري واحلل عقدة من لساني يفقه قولي رب هب لي حكما والحقني بالصالحين واجعل لي لسان صدق في الآخرين. So just to bring you into where we are at the moment, previously we did stanza number 3, and Allama Busairi Rahimullah mentions and addresses his eyes and his heart in that stanza. The lesson derived from that stanza was one that these senses must be used for the pleasure of Allah Azza wa Jal, and specific focus is our love for Rasul Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. In that regard, he says, فَمَا لِعَيْنَيْكَ إِن قُلْتَ كْفُفَا هَمَتَا وَمَا لِقَلْبِكَ إِن قُلْتَ اسْتَفِكْ يَهِمِي. So what's wrong with your eyes? You know, we discussed fa, and we went into it, and we said that fa comes for different usages in the Arabic language, and here we said fa was for fasiha. And if it's not because of all of that, فَمَا لِعَيْنَيْكَ فَمَا لِعَيْنَيْكَ إِن قُلْتَكْ in kultak fufa hamata. So what's wrong with your eyes if it's not because of the other previous stanzas in that mentions that were there? Then what's wrong with your eyes? You tell it to stop, it just continues. Then what's wrong with your heart? In kultas tafik yahimi, come to your senses, it just breaks out, it just goes to into a mode of emotions. So we come here to the stanza, and he says here, أَيَحْسَبُ الصَّبُّ أَنَّ الْحُبَّ مُنْكَتِمٌ مَا بَيْنَ مُنْجَسِمٍ مِنْهُ وَمُضْطَرِمٍ أَيَحْسَبُ الصَّبُّ أَنَّ الْحُبَّ مُنْكَتِمٌ مَا بَيْنَ مُنْسَجِمٍ مِنْهُ وَمُضْطَرِمٍ. What's if it's not because أَيَحْسَبُ الصَّبُّ, if it's not, it's so, let's go through it. Hamza, yahsabu sabbu. This Hamza here either comes for ta'ajjub, and ta'ajjub means something of surprise, something strange, something totally against the norm. If you see in the verses of the Quran Sharif, Allah Azza wa Jal, and that's why we do this here, to gain a better understanding of the words, the letters of the Quran Sharif. So you keep on referring to the verses of the Quran Sharif. So in this verse of the Quran Sharif, Al-Mujadala, Allah Azza wa Jal says in verse number 14, قال الله تعالى بعد أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. So ألم تر إلى الذين تولوا قوما غضب الله عليهم. Have you not seen those who befriend a nation whom Allah Azza wa Jal's anger befalls upon? Have you not seen a nation? Have you not seen those who befriends a nation whose Allah Azza wa Jal's anger descends upon? So this is Suratul Mujadala. So that Hamza we're focusing, Alam, Alam Tara, have you not seen, like, it's so shocking. See what these people are doing. They are befriending a nation which Allah Azza wa Jal's anger descends upon. And this has become common. You'll find, if you take the current situation, people, there's more talks of Saudi Arabia joining ties with who? With apartheid Israel. So there's more talks of that with the enemies of Islam. But talks of Palestine and Saudi Arabia being together. So, something so shocking. So Allah Azza wa Jal mentions in this verse, we just want to highlight to you here, أَلَمْ تَرَ إِلَى الَّذِينَ تَوَلَّوْا قَوْمًا غَضِبَ اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِمْ. Have you not seen those who befriend such a nation whom Allah Azza wa Jal's anger befalls upon? Another verse, if you go to Surah Maryam, chapter number 19. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, أَفَرَأَيْتَ الَّذِي كَفَرَ بِآيَاتِنَا. So here, Hamza again is used. Have you not seen that person? Have you not seen he who rejects our ayat? Surah Maryam, chapter number 19, verse 77. Under this verse here, there is a hadith that is mentioned to understand, to gain clarity. That is why we say those who reject a hadith, you can never ever be a Muslim. If you're saying that Islam is only Quran and you reject a hadith, you can never ever be a Muslim. Surah An-Nahl, chapter number 16, and you turn to verse 44. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tells you clearly, وَأَنزَلْنَا إِلَيْكَ الذِّكْرَ وَأَنزَلْنَا إِلَيْكَ الذِّكْرَ لِتُبَيِّنَ لِلنَّاسِ مَا نُزِّلَ إِلَيْهِمْ. We have revealed to you this reminder, this dhikr. Why? So that you make tabeen, you expound, you explain in detail. Make tabeen what has been revealed to the people. So this year is mentioned. So once you reject a hadith, so you get crazy characters who reject a hadith. So they can never ever be Muslim, because Allah Azawajal is instructing, is telling Rasul Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, لِتُبَيِّنَ, your duty function is to expound to the people what has been revealed to them. So to understand this verse of Surah Maryam, verse number 77, you have to turn to the hadith, and it is mentioned in this hadith. It's a Bukhari Sharif, you want reference, hadith 3162. Khabbab radiallahu anhu. So Khabbab, he mentions, I went to Jaitul Asi ibn Wa'il. I went to Asi ibn Wa'il, Al-Asi ibn Wa'il, As-Sahmiyu. And I wanted my wealth from him. أَتَقَاضَاهُ حَقًّا لِي عِنْدَهُ. I went to get what I borrowed from him. I borrowed to him. I gave him as a loan. So I wanted it back. He said, he told me, فَقَال, who's this? Al-Asi ibn Wa'il. He says, لَا أُعْتِيكَ حَتَّى تَكْفُرَ بِمُحَمَّدِ. لَا أُعْتِيكَ حَتَّى تَكْفُرَ بِمُحَمَّدٍ. I will not give it to you until you reject Muhammad. They never used to say Rasul Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. So Al-Asi ibn Wa'il is saying this, I won't give you back. Imagine, it's his right. It is Khabbab ibn al-Arat's right to get back what he gave, to get back what he borrowed. But see how, what's the response here. Al-Asi ibn Wa'il says, لا أعطيك حتى تكفر بمحمد. I will never give it to you until you reject Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. فَقُلْتُ, I said, لا. Now this was the honor, the love, the sahaba radiallahu anhum had for Nabi Kareem Mustafa sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Money aside, we are not worried. He, Khabbab ibn al-Arat, he says to Al-Asi ibn Wa'il, لا حتى تموت وتبعث. Never ever until you are dead and until you are resurrected. Never ever. It means never ever. La hatta tamuta, till you die, wa tub'atha, and you are resurrected. Qal, wa inni lamayyitun thumma mab'uthun. He says, will I die and I will be resurrected? Then be resurrected? Faqultu na'am. Khabbab ibn al-Arat says, radiallahu anhu says, na'am, yes. Faqal, then Al-Asi ibn Wa'il says, إِنَّ لِي هُنَاكَ مَالًا وَوَلَدًا. Even then, I will have wealth and I will have children. فَأَقْضِيكَ. Then I will repay you. Then Allah Azza wa Jal reveals this verse. فَنَزَلَتْ أَرَأَيْتَ الَّذِي كَفَرَ بِآيَاتِنَا. Have you not seen the one who rejects our verses? وَقَالْ لَأُوتَيَنَّ مَالًا وَوَلَدًا. And I will definitely be given wealth, and I will be definitely be given children. See that rejection of the year after. See that rejection of resurrection. So what we want to point out to you is just one letter. If you go back to Surah Maryam, verse 77, أَفَرَأَيْتَ الَّذِي كَفَرَ بِآيَاتِنَا. How strange. How strange. Have you seen the person who rejects our verses? And he says that I will definitely be given wealth and children. So that Hamza we are speaking about here. So that is ta'ajjub. It is to show some strangeness or some shocking event that is to take place. So in this verse, Hamza has been used, ta'ajjub, one. In that case, it would be, let's give you the translation now. أَيَحْسَبُ الصَّبُّ أَنَّ الْحُبَّ مُنْكَتِبُونَ. Does the lover think that his love can be concealed? مَا بَيْنَ مُنْسَجِمٍ مِّنْهُ وَمُطَّرِمٍ. While his tears are flowing and his heart is glowing, أَيَحْسَبُ الصَّبُّ. Does the lover think that he can conceal أَنَّ الْحُبَّ مُنْكَتِبُونَ, that he can conceal his love? See, this Hamza has so much of meaning. Can that really be the case? Can it be? How could it be? So that's one. Two, this Hamza we're speaking about. It's istifham tawbihi wa inkari. What's istifham tawbihi wa inkari? La yambaghi ay yakuna dhalik. It's not possible for it to be such. It's not possible. So this is Hamza to say it can never be such. Verses of the Quran Sharif, you turn to Surah As-Saffat, you turn to verse 153 of Surah As-Saffat. Now, the kuffar of that time, let's just give you the background before we come to the verse, then you'll understand. This is shirk of a particular kind. Tribes of the Banu Juhayna and other tribes, they said that Allah Azza wa Jal has daughters, and those daughters are the angels of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So on this side, if you turn to Surah Al-Kahf, كَبُرَتْ كَلِمَةً تَخْرُجُ مِنْ أَفْوَاهِهِمْ. Monstrous is the word that exits their mouths. Why? Because they take a son for Allah Azza wa Jal. So that's that side. Now you come to this side. This is a shirk of another kind. So these tribes, Banu Juhayna and others, they said that the angels are the daughters of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah azza wa jal responds by using something that is called an ilzami response. An ilzami response. What is an ilzami response? It is to refute their beliefs by citing their own claims. It is not necessarily that we submit to the same. But utilizing this, we just, for one second, to get them thinking, we go on to their level to make them understand how futile is your actual claim. Look, now it is the season of Hajj. And who do we resemble so much? Hazrat Ibrahim alayhi salam, Abul Anbiya, the father of the prophets. So you get Abul Bashar, Hazrat Adam alayhi salam, father of the prophets is Hazrat Ibrahim alayhi salam, Khalilullah. So he's outside, he looks at the moon, he says, this is my sustainer. The moon vanishes, the sun comes out, he says, this is my sustainer. Not because he believes in it, but he wants these mushrikeen, he wants the opposite side to think that if I believe in this, how can I believe in this when this vanishes all the time? Allah Azza wa Jal is my sustainer. So it is to refute what you're going to say, and it is to make stronger the actual proof. This is what you call an ilzami response. So this type of response is better for people who are bent on obstinacy. So if you see this verse, أَصْطَفَ الْبَنَاتِ عَلَى الْبَنِينَ. أَصْطَفَ الْبَنَاتِ عَلَى الْبَنِينَ. Do they choose daughters over sons? Now the mushrikeen of those days, when they saw a daughter was born, they said, no, this is profitless. This is not going to benefit us. They're not going to participate in the business and make profit. This is a loss for us. When they saw a son, they became so happy. And when they saw a female daughter is born, their face color would change. Look how Allah Azza wa Jalla has honored you females. And you want to have all of this, that Islam is this and that. And then you get the feminists who are trying to give their bent image of Islam, which is totally obstinate in itself. Allah Azza wa Jalla has given freedom to women and has placed them on a high pedestal. Allah Azza wa Jalla has honored you to such a level, like how when you have that brick of gold, you don't just let it out roaming around for everyone and everyone to touch. You put it in your shelf on the top, and it is laid, it's layered in layers. That's what Allah Azza wa Jalla has granted. See, the mothers of the believers, Ummahatul Mu'mineen, what was the instruction given to them which you, O females, need to follow? وَقَرْنَ فِي بُيُوتِكُنْ Chapter 33, verse 33. Stay glued to your homes. This was the instruction. That is where your abode lies. Not to make money, not to go out. That is the men. And O menfolk, in the same breath, we say, it is your duty, responsibility to go out and earn and to keep your woman in the homes, not because you are oppressing them, like the West says. They have this double side where sometimes they will say, WHO, World Health Organization, says how much we must protect the health of our women folk. But then go and see in Palestine how much the very same US is destroying the women folk in Palestine. Bulk of the people that are being killed are women and children. Why? Because women produce the future mujahideen, who is a threat to these US members and their cronies and their cousins in the rogue apartheid Israel. So this is all what their plans are. This is how they operate. We know how they are. So double standards. They'll tell you slaughtering, this year is oppression. But experimenting on dogs, like Dr. Fauci did on beagle dogs, and killed so many of them as Mrs. Greens had grilled him, then that's not oppression. But come now, slaughtering time, you must stun. Stunning is not so stunning after all. You're shocking someone. People then you say no. Why? Like how when you're going for an operation, you use the anesthetic. You can't use that because they're using the anesthetic to try to regain your health so that you go for this operation to live in good health, basically. Allah is the one who grants health and death. So, but in this instance, you are slaughtering the sheep, you are slaughtering the goat, you are slaughtering the cow, not to get the health better of that cow or the sheep or goat. You are sacrificing this for Allah, and Allah has granted and has given the instruction for this. That's the life in this. So by you stunning, it's not going to help the process. But by you slaughtering those points which you need to slaughter, as soon as it's done, there's no pain after that. Now you stun, then they have to still go through another pain. So why do all of that? Just follow straight. But you see, the West, they have actually urinated upon us. So we feel all of this. Anyway, double standards. For rats, beagles, no, we need to experiment. And let them die, no problem. Why? For the health of humans. So have we become like dogs? So if it works for the dogs and the rats, it's going to work for us too. Where's the sense? Allah Azza wa Jal says, أُولَٰئِكَ كَالْأَنْعَامِ They are like animal. They are like cattle. No. بَلْهُمْ أَضَلْ Allah then says no. They are even more deviated than that. So coming back to this here. أَصْطَفَ الْبَنَاتِ عَلَى الْبَنِينَ They have chosen sons. They have chosen daughters over sons. For Allah, they chose daughters. They said angels are the daughters of Allah, and a'udhu billahi min dhalik. And for themselves, they prefer boys. Allah Azawajal then beautifully refutes these statements. But we just want to focus upon you and stress upon you istifham tawbihi wa inkari, to reject. How could they? This is something that you're supposed to reject. So in verse 154 in Surah As-Saffat, just to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, Ma lakum kayfa tahkumun, what is wrong with you? How can you come to this conclusion? How do you make such a judgment of this nature? See, so that's called an ilzami answer. You come down to their level just to demolish their proof, not because you actually believe in their proof. To create some sense in the opposite side, that's why you do it. So yeah, this Hamza comes about. أَيَحْسَبُ الصَّبُّ أَنَّ الْحُبَّ مُنْكَتِمٌ. Is it because, does the lover think that he can conceal his love? So if you're saying istifham inkari, that means it cannot be such. It cannot be such. How could it be such? Then you go into this word, yahsabu. So it comes on different scales. So if you take this, hasiba yahsibu, or hasiba yahsabu, both comes, hispanan. This means to think. So that's where we're getting, does the lover think? And as you know, for those who appreciate Arabic, af'al qulub, so this means it needs two maf'ools. Then if you go on, if you take it on the scale of sami'a, so hasiba yahsabu, hasaban, what does this mean? Bimari ki wajase, so because of some sickness, the skin gets white. And then if you take it on the scale of karuma yakrumu, hasuba yahsubu, hasaba, this is sharifun nasb. Sharifun Nasab, this means that to have an honorable lineage, one who has, whose lineage is honorable. And if you take it on another, Hasiba, and if you look at the Master Hisaban, then it is Kisi Cheez Ka Hisab Karna. This means to take stock, to take account. So Ayahsabu Sabbu, then you come to the word Asabbu. Asabbu, it has the meaning of you taking it in the water, asabul ma asabba, it means to put. If you see in the Quran Sharif, Allah Azza wa Jal mentions, if you turn to Surah Al-Fajr, verse number 13, wal fajri wa layalin ashr. So you know the 10 days of Dhul Hijjah, there Allah Azza wa Jal takes an oath on these 10 days of Dhul Hijjah. So there, if you just now move to same surah, Surah Al-Fajr, and if you go to verse number 13, this is where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala speaks about this. Yeah. This is where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala speaks about this. فَصَبَّ عَلَيْهِمْ رَبُّكَ سَوْتَ عَذَابٍ. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has unleashed upon them the whip of punishment. Allah azza wa jal has unleashed upon them the whip of punishment. What does this mean? Like, if I'm whipping each portion of your body, that pain that you go through, they will witness such a punishment that it will be as such, like someone is whipping them on each side or each portion of their body. This kind of punishment will take place. The sabba, or took place, sabba. Then you get another sabba, and but the master, the roots are sababatan, sababa. This is dili ta'alluq rakna. You have some hearty relationship. So how are we referring to a sabbu in this stanza? So it is in the meaning of ashiq. Isme fa'il, for those who love Arabic. Isme fa'il. So it is the doing noun. The doing noun. And it's on the meaning of ashik, the lover. Does the lover think? Does the lover think? That is what we are saying here. Because why? The heart is always connected to the beloved. That person is beloved to me. Every turn, every direction, he's only seeing that person. But we're coming there still. So, if you see, let's go to the next word. So, أَيَحْسَبُ الصَّبُّ أَنَّ الْحُبَّ. So this word, الْحُبَّ. الْحُبُّ, If you see, it comes on different scales as well. So when we see, it is referring to, does the lover that was a sabbu think that he can conceal the love? So this here, al-hab, al-hubbu. You know, you say al-hubbu lillah wal-bughdu lillah. So love for the pleasure of Allah and hatred for the pleasure of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So on the different scales, you will see habbatun mahabba muhabbat rakna, to love. When it comes on this level, habbaba shay'a ilay. So to make something endeared, to make something valuable, to make something beloved. This is what you're referring to there. To make something beloved, something valuable. So, if you look in the verse of Surah Al-Hujurat, verse number 7, وَلَكِنَّ اللَّهَ حَبَّبَ إِلَيْكُمُ الْإِيمَانِ. But Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has endeared iman for you. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has endeared, made beloved to you iman. That is what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is referring to here. Then if you see, حَبَّبَ السَّقَاء, this means to fill a water or a drinking bag, a water bag. And if you see, tahabbaba ilayh, this is to make known, to make clear. The love must be made clear. That's the meaning of that. Then you get another scale, istahabba. This is to prefer. Istahabba, to prefer. If you go to the verse Surah At-Tawbah, there is chapter number 9, verse 23. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala addresses the believers, Ya ayyuha alladhina amanu, la tattakhidhu aba'akum wa ikhwanakum. La tattakhidhu, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gives an instruction here. Ya ayyuha alladhina amanu, la tattakhidhu aba'akum wa ikhwanakum awliya. O believers, do not take your forefathers and your brothers as friends. In istahabbu al-kufra ala al-iman, if they have preferred kufr over iman, clear instruction. And if you do so, وَمَنْ يَتَوَلَّهُمْ مِنْكُمْ فَأُولَٰئِكَ هُمُ الظَّالِمُونَ. And whoever befriends them from amongst you, they are from the oppressors. Look at the instruction here. Surah At-Tawbah, verse 23. Of course, parents, family members, neighbors, whoever, you cannot be rude to them. But to have that intimate relationship, this Islam totally forbids. If you see, al-habba also comes in the meaning of a grain. So if you turn to chapter 31, Surah Luqman, Sayyiduna Luqman gives the instruction to his son, Ya bunayya innaha intaku mithqala habbatin min khardal. O my beloved son, in fact, if they be anything to the measure of a grain of a mustard seed, fatakun fi sakhratin, if it is in a rock, o fi samawat, or in the skies, o fil ard, or in the heaven, ya'ti biha, he will come with it. He will come with it. So understand that grain, it's either something that is going to be beneficial or it's either going to be something harmful. You're going to come with something beneficial, it's going to benefit you. That's the benefit of this. Moving forward, if you look at the next word, so let's do this here. أَيَحْسَبُ الصَّبُّ أَنَّ الْحُبَّ مُنْكَتِمٌ مَا بَيْنَ مُنْسَجِمٍ مِّنْهُ وَمُطَّرِمٍ. So here we come to munkatimun. Munkatimun, it's in the meaning of hidden, concealment. أَيَحْسَبُ الصَّبُّ أَنَّ الْحُبَّ مُنْكَتِمٌ. Does the lover think that he can conceal his love? Then you come, مَا بَيْنَ, you go to the next portion of it. Ma bayna munsajimin minhu wa muttarimin. That which is in while his tears are flowing and his heart is glowing. مَا بَيْنَ مُنْسَجِمٍ مِّنْهُ وَمُطَّرِمٍ. If you see this word, ma, it is an extra word. And if you see the word baina, it means to be in between two places. Munsajimim, ma baina munsajimim minhu, sajamal ma'u sujuma. What's the meaning of this? Yeah? It means to make water flow. If you see, sajamatil aynu dam'a, to let a tear come out. So that's the meaning we are referring to here. While the tears are flowing. Ma bayna munsajimin minhu. That while tears are flowing from it. And if you say, wa muttarimin, what's the meaning of this? It's on the scale of sami'a yasma'u, darima, and it is to become extremely hot. Daramatin naru. The fire is blazing. Adrama an-nar, to light a fire, when you say. So this is all fitting in with this here. When you are referring here, and you're saying, ayahsabu sabba, ayahsabu sabbu, does the lover think, anna al-hubba, let's analyze this word, al-hub, love. And we go into that now, in that direction. Mailu al-qalbi ila ma yastalidduhu, fa'idha afrat. When it, so love is what? When it inclines, when the heart inclines towards that which delights the heart. And when it goes deeper than that, فَهُوَ عِشْقٌ, then it is ishq. It's a deep sense of love. If you see the hakims, hukama, they have said that imtizaju nafsi bin nafsi kalma'i bimithlihi. It is the mixture of one with another. It's a mixture of one body, one element, one object with another, just like how you mix water with something else. That is it. The types of muhabbat that you get. You get muhabbat tab'i. Maylanu tab'i ila ma yastalidhuhu. So that which, what we said first, it is the natural, or it's that natural inclination to something that a person, that brings delight to that person's heart, basically. Muhabbat aqli. Number two. So what's the meaning of this here? Hubbu ma yanfa'u al-insana aw yadfa'u anhu al-adha. So people, they generally like what? They like what will benefit them, and they dislike that which will harm them. So that which is beneficial, they want to draw close to. That which is going to harm them, they want to push it far away. But you may say, but then how come we're so inclined towards haram? Ask that young boy who's 19 years. He's not a boy anymore. In Sharia, he's a man. But because of the university and all the temptations that's opened up for him from 7 in the morning to almost 7 in the evening, he can do as he wants, freedom as he wants, pop whatever he wants. And there, that female is there now. Tell him to stay away. Tell him to say no. He can't. Temptations are there. So why does he still go to that when it's harmful for him at the end? On that day when it will count so much. Because that's the whole test of life. Temptations will be there, but how do you respond to those temptations? You think it's beneficial, But you are not using your hikmah. You are using your thinking with your private organs. And that is going to lead you into a dangerous place. In this world and the year after. In this world, so much of harm. And the year after, even more. So a person, generally, you'd say, he likes a certain... If someone says, you know what, have this ginger tea. It's going to be, so it tastes nice. And he's going to have it because it's beneficial for his health. So he naturally, he just likes it like that. So this is using his aqal, his intelligence. There's another type of muhabbat, muhabbat imani. So what's muhabbat imani? We'll give you one example and then from this you'll understand it. If you see Hazrat Ali radiallahu anhu, Hazrat Mu'adh radiallahu anhu, Hazrat Musa Ash'ari radiallahu anhu, Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam had given them the instruction, you go do tabligh, you go in for the effort of dawah in this place, in Yemen. So, if you see Hubb al-Tab'i, the first love we did, it naturally wants to be close to Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. But because of Hubb imani, and this takes preference, Nabi Karim's, the lover is giving the instruction, O Mu'adh, you go here. O Ali radiallahu anhuma, you go there. O Hazrat Abu Musa radiallahu anhu, you go there. So the instruction. So we're giving, Hubb al-Tab'i wants us to be close to one another. But because of iman and respect for Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam's instruction, Hubb imani, muhabbat imani, this gives preference and they went. This was Sahaba radiallahu anhu. You want reference for this, you can turn to Bukhari Sharif, Sahih al-Bukhari. You'll find it there, inshallah. Look at another situation of Hubb imani. Hazrat Wahshi radiallahu anhu, we say now, but at that time, he is the one who killed Hazrat Hamza radiallahu anhu. So when he accepts Islam, all forgiven, done, dusted. No problem. But for the sake of iman, فَهَلْ تَسْتَطِيعُ أَن تُغَيِّبَ وَجْهَكَ عَنِّي Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam requested him. Narration of Bukhari Sharif. Hadith 4076, in fact. So, if it is possible, Nabi Karim sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is requesting Hazrat Wahshi radiallahu anhu, if it is possible, as much as possible, can you just try to hide your face from me? Because when I think about you, my thoughts goes towards Hazrat Hamza radiallahu anhu. Hadith is 4072 to be correct. So just try to hide your face from me. Because when you come close, it makes me think and then it causes pain in my heart. And I don't want it to be that ruhaniyat that is placed on you must be taken away from you. So based on that, see, that is muhabbate imani. So there's many examples of this sort. Now you get another type, muhabbat ishqi. You'll see there is certain statements. Mutanabbi used to say, مَلْ خِلُّ إِلَّا مَنْ أَوَدَّ بِقَلْبِهِ وَأَرَى بِطَرْفٍ لَا يَرَى بِسِوَائِهُ وَأَرَى بِطَرْفٍ لَا يَرَى بِسِوَائِهِ Love is nothing. There's no thoughts except that love which is in the heart. And he does not see on the side. He does not see in any direction. But all he sees is his lover. Now this love when it's directed, it has a beautiful meaning and it has a beautiful inclination. Sari dunya ye se nafrat hogi, abdu aja, abdu khalwat hogi. It was said, the entire world, nafrat has come to me now. I'm not interested. I've lost focus of the entire world. Anger has come for the entire world. You come now. I want in my loneliness, in my seclusion, I am with you, Ya Allah. Now see, and we did the hadith in the previous segment. What is the benefits of crying? The person, وَرَجُلٌ ذَكَرَ اللَّهَ خَالِيًا فَفَاضَتْ عَيْنَاهُ. He's alone, he's in khalwat, and he's remembering Allah, a tear falls down. He will be one of the VIP categories on that day when there will be no shade except for the shade of Allah Azza wa Jal. He will be one of them. We spoke about Muhabbat-e Ishqi. Now there's an interesting section here. It's a beautiful section, but we only have 5 minutes. We can never ever do justice to this. Yeah. If you want to see real beauty, and we're not speaking from... If you want to see real beauty, you have to look at this here, what Mufti Ridaul Haq Sahib Damat Barakatuh has written in his kitab, Ad-Durratul Farda. Ad-Durratul Farda, Sharhu Qasidatil Burda. You have to see the section under what is written under the stanza number 4. He speaks of what kind of love a mu'min, a believer, is supposed to have for Rasul Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. He divides it into 6 sections. Kamal, Jamal, Mal, Nawal, Jalal, Wa Azmat, Kaununa, Lahu, Kal'iyal. Those are the 6. Just to briefly run through it. Kamal. Aap sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Ke kamalat kon bayan kar sakta hai. He starts off Kamal. Kamal means perfection. Who can ever speak and do justice to the perfection of Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam? La yumkinu thana'u kama kana haqqahu. Nobody can praise him as is, he is ought to be praised. Ba'd as khuda buzruk tu yi qissa mukhtasar. After the noble status of Allah, Rabbul Alameen, you are there. The story is that concise. It is the entire consensus of the ummah that Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam's jasad-e athar, and that is worth it, surrounding it, that land, the sand that is surrounding it, it is even better than the Kaaba al-Musharrafa. Some have even gone to the extent to say that it is even more better in value, more better in status than even the Arsh and the Kursi of Allah. We're not speaking of the body. Body definitely, but the sand surrounding Rasul sallallahu alayhi wasallam. That sand. It is mentioned by Ibn Uqayl al-Hanbaliyyu, that it is better, innaha afdal, it is much more virtuous, min al-arsh, more than the arsh even. Hazrat Mulana Qasim Nanotwi rahimullah, he said, dunya ke sare kamalat bayak waqt aap mein jamate. The entire perfection of the entire universe at one time is placed in Rasul sallallahu alayhi wasallam. It is mentioned by, now look, you want authentic references, not cooked up, not poets, not poems, nothing, but from hadith. Mufti Ridaul Haq Sahib Barakatuh goes into this discussion. But definitely, definitely, we will never be able to do justice. We'll have to have another segment for this. Let's just give you a few teasers. An Abi Hurairah radiallahu anhu qala Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, Ana Sayyidu waladi Adam yawm al-qiyamah wa awwalu man yanshaqqu anhu al-qabr wa awwalu shafi'in wa awwalu mushaffa'in. Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, I am the leader of the children of Adam alayhi salam on the day of Qiyamah. I am the first whose qabr will be open, wa awwalu shafi'in, and I'm the first intercessor, wa awwalu mushaffa'in, and I am the first whose intercession will be accepted. So that narration in Muslim Sharif. An Abi Hurairah radiallahu anhu qala Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, Hazrat Abu Hurairah radiallahu anhu mentions, Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam had said, Fuddiltu ala al-anbiya'i bisittin, I have been granted virtue with 6 aspects. U'titu jawami' al-kalim, I've been granted concise but comprehensive speech. Concise but comprehensive speech. Words are little, but its meanings go into pages and volumes and volumes and oceans. وَنُصِرْتُ بِالرَّعْبِ I've been granted assistance with awe. Enemy sees me, he feels that awe in his heart. وَأُحِلَّتْ لِيَ الْغَنَائِمِ I've been granted halal, has been made for me, booty. Fighting the war, the booty that comes, halal for us. وَجُعِلَتْ لِيَ الْأَرْضُ مَسْجِدًا وَطَحُورًا And the earth has been made pure. The earth has been made a masjid, meaning anywhere we can read on the earth, وَطَحُورًا and pure. وَأُرْسِلْتُ إِلَى الْخَلْقِ كَافَةً And I've been sent to the entire creation. I've been sent to the entire creation. وَخُتِمَ بِيَ النَّبِيُّونَ And the lineage of prophets ends with me. Narration of Muslim. Hazrat Hassan ibn Thabit radiallahu anhu mentions regarding praising Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and the one who doesn't praise. فَمَنْ يَحْجُو رَسُولَ اللَّهِ صَلَّى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمْ مِنْكُمْ وَيَمْدَحُهُ وَيَنْصُرُهُ سَوَاءٌ A person who does, he holds back, he doesn't praise. And the one who prays and he helps, they're both the same. You can't do justice in that sense. You have to try, but you can't do justice. So that's just on Kamal. We haven't even gone to Jamal. Inshallah, Allah grant tawfiq. In our next session, we will be doing this, inshallah. So we'll start with this in our next. It goes on to all these six qualities. Kamal, Jamal, Mal, Nawal, Jalal. Kaununa lahu kal'iyal. So this is the six. May Allah Azza wa Jal grant us tawfiq and understanding. Wa akhiru da'wana alhamdulillahi rabbil alameen. Allahumma salli ala Sayyidina wa Mawlana Muhammad wa ala Ali Sayyidina wa Mawlana Muhammad wa barik wa sallim. Ya Rabbi waj'al raja'i